All right. I started a new series this week, last week. It's called Return to Me. It's studying the book of Malachi. If you'd go ahead and turn to the book of Malachi, it is the last book of the Old Testament. So if you find Matthew, and if you go to the left, you'll find Malachi. I need a special guest to come forward. He's going to be mad at me, but I need Gary Baker to come forward. I have a special gift for him. Now, every week downstairs, Gary, he busts out the cookies. And Eli Stichter takes about six of them, and he runs around with them, gallivanting through the basement with cookies. And that just couldn't happen. Well, here. Now, wait, I forgot to do, so I wanted to give this gift to you, okay? Now, I think I forgot to do one thing, and that was, I just needed to do something real quick. I'm sorry, but I just forgot to do this earlier. The middle's the best part. That's really good. Yeah, I know, that's what I was going for. I even spit a little bit. There you go. That was the last one that I didn't get the cream out. You can have the rest of them.
Thanks a lot.
So, thank you for all the kind things you do for us and bringing the cookies. And I just wanted to give that gift to you. So, everybody show their appreciation. I really did take, well, I didn't personally take all the cream out. I had a little help because after like five cookies, you like get a little numb-headed and there's like things wrong with you. Okay, so that terribly disrespectful thing, I told Gary, it's like, I'm going to be disrespectful to you, but I don't mean to be disrespectful to you. But it's a good illustration of what was going on in the book of Malachi. The people taking the best for themselves and then giving to God. Now, there is a debate about whether the best part of the Oreo cookie is the center, and I understand that debate. To me, the whole thing isn't complete until you dip it in milk, and then it's a perfect cookie. But anyways. All right, so keeping the best for ourselves. Let's go ahead and open to Malachi. We're going to be in chapter 1, reading in verse 6. A son honors his father, and slaves honor their master. If I'm a father, where is the honor that's due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? So already we have a sort of setup, just like last week. In the book of Malachi, what you'll have is God will make a statement. Last week God's statement was, I've loved you. Their response was, how have you loved us? And God offers his rebuttal. In this same time, God is making a statement. He's saying, a son honors his father, slaves honor their master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due me? Where is the respect that you should have for me? Where is it? And he says, it's you priests who show contempt for my name. And so his statement is, there's contempt, there's dishonor, there's disrespect. And the priests respond with, how have we shown contempt for your name? And so the whole thing is, you've disrespected me. God will give his response. His response is, by offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now implore God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. There's a lot going on there, but it's a very simple thing. God says, you have dishonored my name. And the rebuttal is, well, how in the world have we done that? And I think God, in the most simplest of ways, would say, you've mailed it in. I think he would say, you're just going through the motions. I think God would say, in the most simple terms, is you've taken the best for yourself and you've offered me what was convenient for you to offer. When you look at the text, you see a few things, and he just lays out his case against them. So just making sure we have that. How have the people dishonored God? They've offered defiled food. They've offered blind, lame, and diseased animals at the altar. So the charge against them is simple as not giving their very best. And it's not like they have the excuse of that they didn't know what God expected. Like, the law is very explicit. We could go through Leviticus and just, like, fall asleep learning all the instructions that was for the priest as to exactly how they might go about giving the offering and all everything that would go into it and offering the firstborn and their very best. And what do they offer but what is convenient? They offer the blind, the lame, and the diseased animals at the altar. The result is this sort of curious thing where, oh, that you would just shut the temple doors there in verse 10. It's like, just shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. So God would rather than them bringing these lame animals, these things that just don't live up to what his standards are, instead of just opening the temple and saying, hey, here we are, this is great. You know, God says, I would rather the doors be shut to the temple than you bring me this sort of ridiculous offering. And so there's this sort of rebuke that we find within it. In verse 12 it says, but you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled and its food is contemptible. In verse 13 it says, and you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously. What a burden it is to give God what is expected. What a burden it is to give God our very best. And so then there's this curse. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in the flock, who vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. He says, I am a great king, says the Lord God Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. And so for Israel, if we were to just travel back in time, they aren't living up to what God expects of them. Instead of living out of this sort of conviction, they live out of convenience. And so when I think about that, when I think about living out of convenience instead of out of conviction, I can find a lot of parallels into our sort of modern struggle of saying, how do I live faithfully as a Christian in a church community? It doesn't take a lot of effort for me to see that there are comparisons and that we can find ourselves in the context of what's happening in Malachi. If I were to tell my children, honor your father and mother, and go clean your room. And in response, Oliver or Ellie or Audrey would, instead of cleaning their room, knowing that I would like everything picked up off the floor and make sure we can walk in and vacuum and put the clothes away, instead my children do what they normally do, which is just shuffle a few things around and make it appear to be clean. Right? Is this something that you teenagers do? Yes. All right. You are not honoring your father and mother. I'll teach them, parents. I'll get them in line. All right. You're not honoring your father and mother if they say, please clean your room up to this standard, and then you just sort of like shuffle things around, and so you go home and repent to your mom. All right. Now, it's as simple as that, of just saying, what's happening here is there is a standard to be lived up to, and they know what it is, and to honor God. God is expecting honor, and the way you would honor God is to give the very best of yourself to Him. And so what's happened is, in this text, and what we see happening in Israel is a group of people who have just decided that they're going through the motions. They're going through the motions of their faith. They're going through the motions of the expectations. They're going through the motions of what it meant for them to follow God. They fell into their routine and into their rut, and that's what it was, and that's what it is, and they didn't really want to rock the boat too much. And so when I think about the church. Amen, baptistry. We need a little more water in there, I guess. I don't know. Or it's my stomach and I'm hungry. But either way, ADD, Jordan, focus. All right. The convenient church versus the convicted church. You know, last night there was a football game. It was between the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and the Michigan State University Spartans. You may have watched the game. I watched it. All right? And some things happened. Guys carried this thing around, and they ran into each other, and there was some things that happened. All right. The score was 36-7 for the good guys. And the Fighting Irish, they had a decision to make. Were they going to just lay down, call it quits, go through the motions, or would they try and fight back and have a surprising victory in defeating the wonderful Spartans? We know that they didn't succeed, but we know that they didn't give up and they didn't just go through the motions. How easy it would have been last night for them to just lay down and lose like they were supposed to. But, all right, I'm sorry. Okay, so my illustration is simply that I'm just taunting you now, and it's terrible. I shouldn't do that. So it was 36-7, but they ended up bringing the game to 36-28, and they had an opportunity at the end of the game. Because they didn't just say, okay, we're just going to phone it in, we're just going to mail it in. They're going to do their very best effort. And so that cheap illustration to pick on you for the Spartans winning is actually serving a point, and I would say, are you just sort of phoning it in and just buying time and hoping that, you know, you can just go through the motions in your faith? Or is there still something, a fire in your belly that says, I love the Lord and I want to keep serving Him and going strong for Christ? Because we go through all kinds of things in our life, and it's so easy that we just get in a routine of our faith. We go through the motions. Who has ever felt like they just said a prayer and they forgot what they even prayed? Like, you sit around, like, it is so easy to have the sort of routine going through the motions in your prayer, especially when you have kids. Your kids, when Audrey prays, it's the most precious thing in the world, but she's a broken record, and she really loves her mom and dad. She's like, thank you for mommy and daddy. Thank you for mommy and daddy. And she'll say it, like, forever. Like, and it just makes you feel really good, and then you have to interrupt it, and you give her a little bit of a lead, but Our prayers, it can feel like we're saying the same things over and over again. And do we ever really question, am I just going through the motions in my prayer, or am I earnestly seeking God in this prayer? Am I just praying at mealtime, or do I have a relationship with God in which I'm going to Him and having a conversation? If every time I talk to Wendy the way I talk to God sometimes, I would just have a few things like that I would talk to her about, like, would you make me a sandwich, please, Wendy, and would you please help me with this project thing or whatever. Or I don't know what I'm saying. But if I just said that those same very things to her every time, what kind of relationship would I have with my wife? If you're saying the same very things over and over to God, what kind of relationship do we have with Him? Are we just going through the motions in our relationship with God? When we come to church, are we just going through the same motions over and over again? Do we sit in the same pew, sitting in the same spot, arriving at the same time? We're just going through the motions. Next week, I might just shuffle the pews around on you. And I'll take the blame. I don't care, because if it means that we would be jarred a little bit to think about what we're doing when we arrive in this place together, then maybe that might be worth it a little bit to say, I don't want to just go through the motions of what my faith is, what it means for you to be here, and what's going on in your life. Are you just going through the motions in your prayer? Are you just going through the motions in your faith, in your worship, in the things that you're doing? Are you thinking about, are you passionate about what God is doing in your life and where he's leading you? Because those priests in Malachi, they were just phoning it in. They were lame duck priests who were just going through the motions. This is what God wants, and if we just give them this, that'll be all right. They no longer inspected. They no longer made certain that people were bringing the very best. In fact, it says at the end of it, the people were keeping the very best for themselves. They were licking the Oreos and giving away the rest. And so when I have thought about this and what it means for the church, I want to just not berate you and make you feel like, oh man, I'm a lousy Christian and I'm not passionate about Jesus and this isn't working. But I want to compare two churches. I want to compare the convenient church with the convicted church. The convenient church, the Christians who are part of it say, I'll get to it when I have time. The convicted church says, time is of the essence. The convenient church says, when I have extra. The convicted church says, I will give it all I have and everything I got. The convenient church says, when I have duplicates, when I have more than enough of something. The convicted church says, I will pour out myself and pour out everything. The convenient church says, I will do that when it's something I'm passionate about. The convicted church would say, it's what the King has impressed upon me and impressed upon us, and we must be obedient to God's call and every opportunity, whether we like it or are passionate about it or not. The convenient church says, we'll go through the motions. The convicted church says, we'll give 100% of our effort. The convenient church says, we'll give minimal effort and minimal focus to what the task of God's kingdom are on our lives. The convicted church says, we will have 100% laser focus on Christ and his kingdom. The convenient church keeps the best for themselves. And the convicted church says, not giving the best and keeping the best for themselves, but giving the best of themselves to the church community and the church body and the wider community and world. The convenient church says, keeping the best for myself. The convicted church says, I'm going to give the best of myself to the cause of Christ. And we know that the convenient church is the one that we sometimes want to be a part of. Because it doesn't rock the boat, it goes through the motions, and it's easy. It's the path easiest traveled. It's the convicted church that makes people feel uncomfortable. It's the convicted church that says that things aren't going to be easy, but these are the things that God has impressed upon our hearts and the things that we must do. And it might mean that we stop going through the same old thing over and over again, going through the same motions that we've always done, and just sort of phone it in and saying, we're just buying our time until Jesus comes back. Friends, is time of the essence for you to reach the lost, to share Christ's hope and victory? Is time of the essence for you to share with your neighbor and your friend about who Christ is and what's going on in this world? Is time of the essence to reconcile relationship with someone in your life? Is time of the essence to seek first Christ and his kingdom? Because when I look at Malachi and I see the people saying, and God saying, you've shown contempt for my name. You guys are no longer giving your best. God has a case against them. And I think sometimes he has a case against us if we aren't aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it, and if we're not passionate about what God is calling us to do as a church body for us individually. Friends, I want to be a part of a convicted church. And I know a lot of it falls on my shoulders, but it's not on mine alone. It's all of us together saying, are we going to be a church that has conviction about who Jesus is and what he's done in this world? Are we a church convicted that Jesus Christ is King and no one else is? That he's the King that we live for? Are we willing to say that Jesus is Lord and King over everything and he's the one we live for? Are we willing to say that and be a church that's convicted about Jesus' victory over sin and over death and over destruction? Are we willing to say that Jesus is Lord and King over death itself, that he's victorious and we can have new life in him? And so my question is, and I don't have the three-step process for you to leave with, and I wish that I would and I was that preacher, but I'm simply not. But what I am is passionate about who Christ is and what he's done in my life, and I hope that you too are passionate about what God is doing in your own, that you would live each day on the conviction of who Christ is as your Lord and King, and that you wouldn't wake up in the morning and think, I'm just going to go through my day and just not have a purpose and thing going on in your life. You have a purpose, and the purpose is to glorify God through loving your neighbor and loving God with all that you are. It means loving your church family. It's about being a person who has conviction about who Christ is and what he's doing in your life. It's about being 100% in, being all in about what Christ has done in you and through you and for you through this church body. And so I leave you with a very simple question. Do you want to be a part of a convenient church? Do you want to go through the motions? Do you want to not be challenged in your faith? Do you want to just offer what you have extra? Or do you want to be the convicted church? To give your whole self, give the best of yourself to the church family as best as you can, with a focus on Christ and his kingdom. Because the church will be what kind of church you decided to be today. It's not just going to suddenly happen tomorrow if we all just leave it as the same old, going through the motions. I pray that we would never simply just phone it in with God and our relationship with him. That we wouldn't just go through the motions, but we'd be a people who are convicted about who Christ is and what he's done in our lives. What kind of church do you want Aetna Green Church of Christ to be? I hope it's a church of conviction about who Christ is and what he's done for you. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us despite, Lord, oftentimes simply going through the motions and not giving you our best. A lot of people demand the best from us, our bosses, our families, things going on in our lives, Lord, that demand much, but you expect the best from us for your church. And so, God, I'd ask that you would please forgive us. And now, also, we would follow your instruction to now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from our hands. God, that we would plead with you to give us another chance to be a people of conviction, to run faithfully, fervently for you. Lord, so many things around us want to steal the best of ourselves. So many distractions and things that we would think are of extreme importance. God, give us the wisdom to discern what deserves our best and give it our all. And God, I am certain that you will turn us through your Spirit to give our very best to our church family, to give our very best to each other in support and encouragement, to give our very best to you. And so, God, I'd ask that you would stir within our hearts to be a people rooted and established on the foundation, the cornerstone of Christ Jesus, that our lives would be convicted on who He is as our Lord and our King. Lord, we know that we can turn to You and that we can have a new life in You through Your Son, Jesus. And it's in His most wonderful name that we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us? Thank you.